So we are looking into God's word about practicing thankfulness, not understanding thankfulness, but practicing. How many of you, I hope in the last 7 days, you found yourself thanking God more? Did you? I hope so. Of noticing, acknowledging him. From the Bible says, the fruit of our lips, we give him thanks. And so today we want to continue to look at that. And really, this is going to be an extension of thanking God. We saw in Luke 17 that when Jesus healed 10 lepers, there was only one that came back. And the other 9, we don't know why, but they didn't say thank you. And for some of those people, they may have not known that Jesus was the Son of God. They may have just known him to be a miracle-working rabbi. And so there was also not a human gratefulness to it either, was there? That going back, like the gentleman on the video, we didn't plan that video for the sermon, but the person that had the surgery came back to say, thank you. You've changed my life. Acknowledged what God did. We saw the dangers of unthankfulness in Romans chapter 1. In 2 Timothy 3:2, a list of sinful qualities in the last days that men will be disobedient to parents. And one of the things is that they are unthankful. And in that case, we don't know if it's unthankful to God or people or likely both. All right? So Colossians 3:15, another admonition for us to be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Now, this doesn't necessarily to say where are you thankful. So thankfulness would be something that we can cultivate towards God and to people as well. One of the things that the New Testament makes really clear is that, you know, somebody asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those two go together. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. John, in his epistle, talked about lots about God's love to us, our love to God, and our love to people. And he put it this way. He said, how can you say you love God that you can't see, but you don't love your brother whom you can see? So there really is no separation between loving God and loving people. Okay? And so I believe the same would be that if we are thanking God, we are also thankful to people. And so while last week's sermon, I hope, affects your praise life and your thankfulness and your relationship with God, I hope people who are closest to you will know you went to church today in the near future because of how you're going to treat them differently as a result of what we see. All right? So Paul had a regular habit in virtually all of his epistles, he would write and he would say something like this: I thank my God for you. All right, let's see just a few of these. They're quite a few. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1, is as he's greeting the church there, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. So Paul was thanking God for people. But he didn't stop at thanking God for people. He told the people that he was giving thanks for them. So how many of you know you can thank God for someone and they never know about it? Not necessarily wrong, but that wasn't Paul's strategy. Paul said, you know, always when I'm praying, I'm thanking God for you, but I want to let you know that I appreciate you, that you actually are a cause for me to say thanks to God. All right. And so they are aware of it. Okay. Philippians 1, and Philippians, the entire book, is somewhat of a gospel-based thank you letter for their partnership in Paul's missionary work. In Philippians 1:3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. All right. So this was, that really was a habit of Paul's to do this. Okay. Now, what did the Philippians do that Paul was thankful for? Now, later in the book, the epistle, we'll find out. So go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well. What is that? That's a shout out, isn't it? That's a high five. That is acknowledging what they did as good. You have done well that you shared in my distress. Now it's specific, isn't it? All right, and it gets even more specific. Now you Philippians know that also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. That's a communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. It means you gave money. All right, it's a spiritual, it's a true statement, but it's kind of a fancy spiritual way of saying you gave money. Verse 16, then he describes it even in more detail. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now, they know this, don't they? Paul's not giving them any news. They know this, but he wants them to know that I know. He wants them to know that I appreciate it, that I can see God at work in your life. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus. That's a good name to name your kids. Call him Epi for short. All right. Epaphroditus is awesome. He's an awesome guy in the Bible. All right. Having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So this is somewhat of an outline, I believe, of how we can thank people well. We can use Paul's example and ask ourselves, are we doing this for the people in our life whom God uses? All right, now, you may not be an apostle on a missionary journey, but you know what you are? Is you are a wife who notices how sacrificial your husband is and how thoughtful he is. And how that he doesn't lose his temper. Amen. All right. Or that you say, hey, let's go look at fabric. And he says, sure, let's go look at fabric. That is laying down his life. That is suffering for Jesus. That is... Men, help me out, right? My wife took her mom back to the States, so she's there helping her get settled in right now. But yeah, there are times where my wife will say, hey, you want to do this? And I could tell she's excited. And I say, yeah, sure. And then you... And wives know it. Hey, when their husbands are dragging their feet, right? You don't even want to be here. So as I'm there, I'm like, wow, that one is, that's really red. That one is really good, you know? So what does this outline look like? First of all, we let people know that we notice. We are aware of what you've done. It's acknowledging that they have been gracious, they have been kind, that there are these godly characteristics in their life that are affecting you for good. Right? So you acknowledge, you notice, and then one thing Paul does is he was specific. He was specific. Even in Thessalonica. So boom, that's a period of time, isn't it? You sent aid once and again. So it's not just acknowledging, but I saw the details. All right? Husbands. Thank you, my darling wife. Thank you for, you know, you cooked. This is exactly what I love. Yeah. This would be me. You didn't make the okra slimy, but you put tomatoes and onions and it was just nice. Huh? You did it the way I liked it, not the way your mother taught you. And I am so appreciative of that. Amen. Describe the details. Be specific about what you're thanking God for. You know, when we talked about thanking God, and we saw those examples, we thanking God for His goodness, for His nature, and for His deeds. And so, if I'm thanking God for His deeds, that means, what has He done in my life? And we sang a song today. I've witnessed it. All right. So that was a general song. It covered a whole bunch of stuff. But you can get specific with God, and you get specific with people. Paul was. All right. Then thirdly, he lets them know how it impacted him. He said, "I've received from what you sent from Epaphroditus. I am full." What you did has done so much. And he let them know about the impact and how, because there was obviously a love between the church and Paul. All right. And so he's not just saying, thank you, but, you know, the shoes fit perfectly. Amen. When you helped with the tuition, now my daughter just passed grade 8 with flying colors. I'm so appreciative of what you've done. All right. And then the last thing he does is he acknowledges that it matters to God. Okay, what they did, he's specific about it. He talks about how it impacts him. But notice he ties it in that he says that this, what you've done, is it's like a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So he's using Old Testament language that when you would bring a sacrifice to the temple, the aroma of your burnt offering or your grain offering or whatever was the idea that aroma went up. And in the Old Testament, the sky, the heavens, that was God's space, okay? And that it blessed God, it pleased God. So this is not just good manners, is it? All right? This is holy. This is godly. And this can be a pattern that we use of how we thank people. I noticed the specifics. This is how it changed my life. This is what your giving did. And that I believe it blesses the Lord. It links it to God's heart. Okay. Yesterday I was on a WhatsApp and there was a family situation that was bothering me and concerning me. And then I had another family member that said, "Hey, I prayed for that family member this morning." Oh, kind of helped me to know I'm not on doing this on my own. So I said, "Thank you for praying. Thank you for loving." All right, because I wanted them to know that I appreciated that. Okay, now. Last week we saw that it really makes a lot of sense to give thanks to God, doesn't it? All right. But there are times when we don't. Jesus asked, where are the other nine? Okay. And we saw that one of the barriers to thanking God is a sense of entitlement. Okay, the older brother, I deserve a party because of what I've done. All right. What keeps you from thanking people? What keeps you thanking people that God is using, that have the grace of God, even if they're not born again, but God is still working through their lives? What keeps you from thanking them? Also entitlement. This is a big problem. And we can feel entitled, but there's also ways that we kind of impose that entitlement onto other people, and it really ruins relationships. Okay, so let's kind of talk our way through that, all right? Because what happens sometimes with entitlement with people is, instead of acknowledging, verbal, a text, whatever it is, we do the opposite. We actually stay silent when people are gracious, but the only time we open our mouth is when they are not being gracious, according to our standards. Okay? So instead of being thankful, we're whiners. We're complainers. All right? Some people they have an advanced degree in complaining. Okay? They are ninja warriors, stealth in the night of, and they use it as a weapon against people in order to manipulate. All right? That is not godly in any way. Okay? So a sense of entitlement means that I am owed something. All right? There is on we talked about, you know, theological bookkeeping, that I have created in my life, there's a receivable to me. You owe me. And you have a liability. There's a debt that you owe me. Okay? So, talked about, having a real money debt. But I remember years and years ago when we were trying to finish up our house. And so I went to, there was one bank, and then another bank took it over. And so we had a loan there. And at the time, I would actually go and write a check and go to the counter and everything. And never once did they thank me. Never once. Never once did they send me a Christmas gift. No, they just, you know what they gave me? They gave me a receipt. Right? Acknowledging that it happened, okay, for my booking. Well, they didn't have to thank me because they were not doing that out of benevolence. I think at the time it was 33% interest. Right? I'm embarrassed to even say that in a public place, all right? Paid it off real fast, okay? It was a business transaction. This was not friendship, okay? So there was no gratefulness. No, they had it. The money that they gave me, they had it coming back to them, all right? And so sometimes we live our relationships like this, that your uncle is the building society. And he owes you. Your brother in Australia that's living the big life. And he doesn't even care about his nieces and nephews. No, he actually doesn't. He doesn't even know their name. He's never met them. Okay? And you've put an obligation that doesn't come from the Bible. All right? So, at times, we are unthankful to people because in our mind, they should have. They should have, all right? Now, where does this "you should have" come from, all right? A couple of common ones is that we look at other people in our life and we say, you have more time than I do, and you should be doing this. We do this in families, don't we? You don't even care about grandma. You don't even care about mom. And I'm working 3 jobs. And I've got 5 kids. And you are unmarried and you're going here from there. And you should be doing more. Who says? You say. Okay. See, the thing about grace is offered free. Now God doesn't withhold it, okay? But I don't get to decide what other people give. How many of you have been in America Life? You've been here for 15 years plus. 15 years plus. Okay. So those of you that didn't raise your hand, the people that did raise their hand, you can thank them for this building. Okay. Because God used them. Yeah. And the way we saw from the Word of God is that, you know, we talked about it. There was vision. This is important to God. And then it's a free will offering. You decide. You talk to God. You talk to your spouse. And then to say, okay, for the next 2-3 years, here's what I feel like the Lord would have me to do. All right. Now, here's what we didn't do. We didn't hand you a filled in pledge card. We see what kind of car you're driving. We've determined here's what you're going to be giving. Would you appreciate that? No. Okay. But we sometimes do this with people. We do this with people. All right. Man, if I had all the time they had, I'd be doing but. No. You do you. It's a full-time job. All right. Now, maybe they're being benevolent. Maybe they're not. We don't know everything that's going on. All right. But people get to decide. But you have more time. You have more resources. You should. All right. Especially we put these judgments on people. I've known them for 35 years. We grew up together. We were in the same house together. Mm-hmm. Don't they know their kids would be living on the street if it wasn't for me giving their school fees? And this is the thanks I get. Right? Ungodly. We've got to repent of this. Not just the action, but what's driving the heart behind it. Okay? So what happens is we then kind of look at people and we determine what they're going to do. And then if they don't meet our expectations, we determine you're bad, you're stingy, you're unloving. So we make that judgment and then we typically tell them or we tell other people so that we shame them. Mm-hmm. It's getting quiet at First Presbyterian Church today. So then what happens is then giving, because doesn't the Bible talk about giving with joy? Like Paul is like happy and the Philippians are happy. And Philippians is known as a thank you letter, but it's also known as an epistle of joy. Okay. What's the joy? It's about sacrificing money, about making a difference for the gospel. It's a joyful thing. But then when we impose and people impose on us, giving is no longer a joy. It's paying off emotional terrorists. That's all it is. It's pacifying someone's anger. I want them to just be quiet. So here. Well, wait a second. Are you happy about it? No, you're actually upset that you gave. All right. And then maybe that's why you don't ever see a return on your giving, because you give from a wrong heart. Okay. As far as humans, if I'm the recipient, I don't determine what the giver does. That's not my job. I don't get to make their decision for them. Okay. Now, a cool thing in marriage is that my wife and I made vows before the Lord in front of all of our relatives about certain things that we would do to each other. Okay? So, I'll see her soon, but, you know, the few days that I'm away from her, she made a promise to me. She said, forsaking all others, I'll keep myself only unto you. And she's done amazing with that promise. So if she's away for a few days, I haven't put an app on her phone so I can see who's Joe? Who's this Joe guy? I trust her because she's proven that, right? So in marriage, there is those vows are holy. Those vows are sacred. Right? So we have given each other some expectations that are wonderful expectations, all right? But even then, when my wife made that vow to me, when it came her turn, you know, I didn't pull out a 9mm and put a gun to her head to make her make those vows. She did that of her own free accord. Okay? All right. So one way thankfulness and entitlement is that we decide what other people should be doing. All right? Another thing is that there's payback. There's payback. All right? That my kindness, I've shown some degree of grace. I've shown some goodness. And so now they have a debt to repay me for what I've done in their life. Okay? So life is no longer loving, but it's a lifelong debt repayment scheme. Okay? So every person I meet and every person that's close to me, you know, in my mind, there's a number on their forehead. It's not the mark of the beast, but it's either positive or negative of what I owe them or what they owe me. And that's kind of how we live life. All right? And if there are people that, you know, that I think I owe, and I'm not talking about like real loans, okay? Please pay your loans. Amen. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay? So, you know, then I begin avoiding people, don't I? Some people at Miracle Life switch from first service to second service or second service to first service because the person they owe, they don't want to see in the car park. That was not a joke. That's for real. Okay? You've got so many different cell phone numbers. Huh? And somebody's calling you, somebody's calling this, that, what, you know. And you're just managing all these things. Don't live your life that way. Don't live your life that way. Give. Be gracious. And then allow other people to be gracious into your life. We don't have a scorecard with the people that we love. Amen? All right. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 9. And this is a section that's similar to Philippians because it's about giving. It's about how we are making a difference for the cause of the gospel and for people and loving. All right. And so Paul took two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, to dig into this. Okay. And he kind of makes a bit of a summary statement here. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, so he's speaking to believers who have already, you know, shown that they're gracious. It says, "You must each decide." So, is he talking to the whole church? Yes, but now he breaks it into individuals, doesn't he? Okay, so you as the church of Corinth, but you must each individually decide in your heart how much to give. So who decides? Who decides? The giver. The giver. How many of you have in some part of life just kind of woken up, you were notified of how much you were going to be giving? Right? Some of these committees. Ladies, we love you, but we really do. But some of these things before babies and weddings, you need to get sanctified. Okay. You're going to be giving a deep freeze. I am? Yeah, we've decided. No, you don't get to decide. What if I wanted to give three deep freezes? Now you're blocking me, all right? You follow me, right? Okay. So let's read this first part again. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly in response to pressure. But what's the implied statement here? We are giving. Okay, so it's not a matter of giving or not giving, but I set the terms, not the recipient. I'm sorry, the Bible is so clear, isn't it? Okay, so we must each decide in our heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So guess what? When you give reluctantly or in response to pressure, you are disobeying the Bible. There's another term for disobeying the Bible. It's a real simple word for when the Bible says something and we say, I'm going to do it my way. It's called sin. So don't sin in your giving. Okay, but here's the other thing is don't put pressure on people to sin. Right? Let me read it to you from the message. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Yeah. I want to bless this new couple. Man, I'm so happy that I'm giving a deep freeze or a fridge or four plates. Four forks. Hallelujah. They need four forks, don't they? And I'm going to be God's instrument of blessing for four forks. Come on. Okay. And so it's given with joy and it is received with joy. Okay. Message Bible puts it this way. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind. Make up your own mind. What you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. Sob stories and arm twisting. When you hear those phrases, does a picture appear in your mind? A person. Persons. Okay, so we get to decide, and we're going to be generous. We're going to be awesome, aren't we? Okay, but it is, I'm going to do that. But here's the other side of this. Are you the person with the sob story? Are you the person doing the arm twisting? Shouldn't be us, should it? That should not, because God is saying don't, you know, resist this behavior, so we shouldn't be the one engaging in this behavior. Amen. All right. So, when we are putting pressure, giving arms, sob stories and arm twisting, we are disobeying the Bible. All right. And I tell you, when we first got married, and you know, so our the path of our life, so we were in South Africa, and you know, we could not earn a living there, so we were supported missionaries, and so friends and relatives that were on a different path, like CEO business, partners of law firms, different people, you know, and you kind of think, oh my gosh, thank God there wasn't social media back then. I think it would have just driven me crazy, because my heart was a little bit immature back in the day. All right, and I wouldn't say a few people, I didn't put the sob story on them, but I had the sob story in my heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, must be nice. Must be nice. You don't care about people or the gospel. Yeah. Oh, you're going on a holiday again. Oh, again. That's what I didn't say that to him, but in my mind, I'm thinking, right? Thank God there wasn't the internet. You're going to this resort. Oh, how much per night? Wow. That's 2 months' rent, you know? Sob stories, arm twisting. Okay, so this is an important statement, and I want you to hear it. Faith in God, faith in God's word, does not put pressure on people. They don't happen at the same time. So if I'm putting pressure on people, whether I'm doing it outside or I'm doing it on the inside, that is an indicator that I am not trusting God in that area. Because faith in God is just that, faith in God. All right? If he wants to use the ravens, if he wants to use the widow, if he wants to use my job, God is my source. People are people. Faith in God doesn't put pressure on people. I'll just say this. I can't find anywhere in the Bible, in fact, I find the opposite, that says that the government owes you a job. I just can't find it. All right? Can they create conditions that are good for job creation or can kill job creation? Sure. Hopefully, if you've lived long enough, read world events, different countries, that happens. Okay? But I can't see anywhere that if I'm unemployed, that it's the government's problem. It's my problem, okay? And I'm going to talk to God about it, and he's going to help me. Okay, just I know we've got older people in first service, so yeah. They're anyway, yeah. Well, Pastor, I applied to the ministry of such and such 25 years ago, and I'm just waiting for my CV to click in there. They're not calling you back. Sorry. I'm really sorry. So talk to God about it. Trust him. He said, the Bible says, he'd bless what you put your hand to. So, God, I need something to put my hand to. Now, maybe it is at a peristatal. Maybe it isn't a government ministry. And that's a good thing. You'd be a huge blessing. Amen? All right? But your uncle doesn't owe you anything. Okay? And even your uncle who's an MP doesn't owe you anything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. Faith in God does not put pressure on people. So here's the cool thing is what it seems like is that this kind of loop of Paul being thankful to God for people and God using people is because Paul seemed to be trusting God. My God will supply all of your needs because he's supplying my needs too. And so I'm thankful to God because I see God working in all of this. Amen. Okay. So I can thank God and then thank others for the good that they bring into my life. Okay. Now here's something we should maybe settle our heart on, is that people don't have to be perfect for you to thank them. Okay. They can disappoint you on Thursday, and on Friday they were awesome and you thank them. Nah, but I'm still mad about Thursday, and I don't want them to think that Thursday was okay. So I'm not even going to say anything, because then they're going to get the wrong impression. If we wait for people to be perfect for us to thank them, we're going to be waiting a long time. And here's the problem. If only perfect people get to be thanked, you and I are not ever going to be thanked. Because we're humans. And we do dumb things sometimes. All right? And we are rude, or we're uncaring, or there are social things that we don't get right sometimes. Correct? Okay. So be a gracious person in your thanksgiving. Philippians 1:3. Let's read it again. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. With joy. Amen. Let's just put this into practice today. Even before you can do this before you even leave church. All right. Is that Miracle Life, Pastor Alice, I don't know if you know the number right, but how many Life team members are currently with us? 1,700. Okay. So 1,700 people at Miracle Life work for free. Let me put it another way. They don't just work for free. They pay their own petrol, their own diesel. They wear out their own shoes to walk here to serve us. So when all of us come on a Sunday, there are people who are not employed in any way, and they've gotten these scriptures ready, and they put them up there, and they sing. I'm not making a political statement or anything, but nobody on this stage got paid to do anything today, to sing. All right? It's not that we're stingy. We just think it's good that people serve, and they're giving to you. And if you see them on Sunday, it means that they were here on Saturday. I love Jesus, but I don't like to serve on Saturday. I don't. And when I do, I get a little grumpy before I do. And then okay, Lord. All right. But I like to do nothing. Or I want me time, Jesus time, marriage time, right? So people that are teaching our kids, okay? Mrs. Funda Funda, are you here? She was back there. I don't think she's in first service. She's probably back there. She's been serving kids before Pastor Haley and I got here. Over 22 years. She's still smiling. All right? Literally, some of the people that are up on, you know, they get married. Oh, they look so nice. Yeah, she served them when they were in Noah's Ark. Yeah. Well, you know, what do you pay? Nothing. Nothing. It's a service. It's kindness. It's grace, isn't it? And we could just go on and on and on and on and on. So today, before you leave the gate, right, even if you're in a hurry, okay, thank people for serving today. Thank people for serving. All right? Will you do that? All right. And if you want to stay and get some fritters and just make it a whole day, you can just wander around the whole place and just thank people. Here's a thought. You could get fritters and not eat them and give them to somebody else. Sorry, I'm suggesting what you should do. Okay, sorry. Okay. Hold up. So let's start. Let's put this into action today. And let's make it more of our lifestyle. I think we've all, when somebody gives us words of appreciation or some kind of a token or whatever that looks like, doesn't it do something to us? I mean, you can live for a month on that sometimes. Amen? Father, we love you so much. And Father, we do thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for saving us. Thank you for your word. But Father, we also know that, Lord, virtually everything that you do in our life comes through human channels, God. And one of the places that happens is here at church. Lord, our families, our friends. And so, Father, may we see the example of Apostle Paul, of how this, it was obvious a habit in his life. It was just something that he was regularly doing. And Lord, may that be more a part of our life. And may people whom you've used in our life be able to hear our appreciation before their funeral, God. That we don't have to stand over their casket and say thanks, but Father, we can say it to their face. Lord, we can send them a text that they will read. May we be more aware of that. And Lord, may there just be an acknowledgement of you in other people, God. And that, Lord, it doesn't mean life isn't perfect yet and we don't still have struggles and needs and stuff, but Father, we're appreciative of the people you've brought into our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and we're talking about grace and gifts and appreciation. In that 2 Corinthians 9, at the very end, it says that we thank God for his indescribable gift. So while you and I are gracious and we give and we serve, there's a gift that we will never, ever be able to duplicate, and that is that God so loved the world, that's you, that's me, that he gave his only begotten son, because that was the only way for us to be redeemed. There had to be a sin sacrifice. There had to be someone who would take our place and pay our debt. And it wasn't, we weren't redeemed with silver or gold or perishable things, the Bible says, but with the precious blood of Jesus. It was so costly to Jesus. It was so costly to the Father. And yet he did it. Why? For you. To be saved from your sin, to be saved from an eternity separated from God. God didn't want that for you. So he gave this incredible gift. So my question to you is, what have you done with that gift? You say, well, Pastor, I'm aware of it. Now, have you received him? The Bible says if to all those people that receive him, believe on him, God will give those people the power to become the children of God. The children of God. Are you his child today? I'm not talking about religious. I'm not talking about you were baptized as a baby. I was unsaved and baptized. Have you received Jesus as Savior, as Lord, the King over your life? Jesus is not just someone that you kind of check in with every 2 years when you're in trouble. No, you live your life under his direction and authority. He makes you a brand new person. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that is not my testimony. I need Jesus. I need him to be Savior and Lord. I need him to forgive me. Maybe your testimony is you're like a prodigal son, prodigal daughter, and you need to come back from a faraway place of rebellion. Come home today. Come home today. And if that's you, wherever you are, I want to pray with you. And so that we can pray together, I'd ask you right now, respond to the Lord by lifting up your hand. Say, that's me, God. God, I need you. Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Who else will say, that's me? Today is my day of salvation. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else say, that's me. Jesus will be my King. Jesus will be my Lord. Anyone else before we pray? Anyone else before we pray? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. The Bible says our help comes from the Lord. So why don't we lift up one of our hands where our help comes from, just towards heaven. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. Jesus, you died for me. You shed your blood for me. Wash and cleanse me of every sin. Jesus, I'm sorry for ignoring you, for ignoring your word. Be the King over my life. I follow you, and I follow you alone for the rest of my days. In your name I pray. Father, we do love you, and we thank you that you loved us first. And Father, we are grateful. And Lord, continue to work in us that we will be gracious people to others, God, that we will say thank you, that we will show kindness and appreciation in a variety of ways, God, and may it start at home and may extend everywhere we touch, God. We love you so much in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.